Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I'm not used to usually having a reply back from the audience, so that's caught me by surprise. God has a plan for this world, doesn't he? The plan is to set up his kingdom upon this earth and grant those who are worthy immortality so that they can praise him forever. But when is this going to happen? The honest answer is we don't know. Nowhere in the Bible, in Scripture, does it tell us a time or date that this is going to happen. But we are given pointers or signs to look out for which tell us that it is going to be soon. And this morning I'd just like to spend a short time looking at one of these signs. The story of Noah is very well known, isn't it? Recently adapted into a Hollywood blockbuster film. On the right we have the poster for this Hollywood blockbuster film. Don't know how many of you saw it. No matter how much they removed or added into the story, it still had the basics of the account which we have in Genesis. Noah was instructed by God to build a giant ark to save him and his family and land-based creatures, as God was going to flood the earth and restart it, as man's wickedness was so great. And the account of Noah is written down in Genesis chapter 6 to chapter 8, but we won't go there just yet. So on the right we've got the poster, and on the left, we have a picture of somebody who, an idea of what the ark may have looked like. Somebody's actually built what they believe is a scale version of the ark. It's pretty big. If you look to the left of the picture, you've got cars next to it. They're dwarfed in comparison to the size of this ark. It has been a very big structure. Could we turn to Matthew chapter 24, please, which is our opening reading. I'll just read through it again. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know, until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So at this point, this is Jesus talking about Noah, and he uses the time of Noah as an example. What does he tell us that the times of Noah were like? They ate and drank. They married and gave in marriage, and they didn't listen to the message of Noah or pay attention to the fact that he was building this giant boat. And he'd been building the ark for about 120 years, I believe. They'd had plenty of time to ask questions, yet they didn't listen to what he was trying to tell them. We also get mention of the time of Noah in Luke chapter 17. Can we turn to Luke chapter 17, please? Luke 17, verses 26 and 27 say this. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Again, they ate, they drank. They married wives, another multiple here, and they were given in marriage. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So why have I gone to these two chapters at the start of our look at Noah? Why am I trying to look at whether the time of Noah lived in is like ours? Well, I believe that these verses, which we've looked at, tell us one thing. There was no regard for God in this society. They did what they wanted, didn't they? As I've already said, they had roughly 120 years of Noah building the ark in front of them. Yet, it didn't bother them in the slightest. Life carried on up to a point. Can we turn, please, to Genesis chapter 6? This is the account of Noah, and it gives us a lot more information about what society was like at this point. If we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, it tells us that they, the men, took themselves many wives. Verse 5, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The intent of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. And in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 6, all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. The world was in a bad way at this point, wasn't it? The wickedness of man was great. He was only evil continually. Violence filled the earth. People were completely corrupt. So God destroyed them. If we look back at our verses which we read in Matthew and Luke, we are told that the time that God sets up his kingdom upon this earth will be like the times of Noah. There will be no respect for God. There will be much violence in the earth. People will only be looking out for themselves. Their hearts will be full of evil. So going back to our title, is the time of Noah so much different to the time that we live in today? Well, we're just going to have a look at a few sort of like headlines from the past year and some from Tuesday of this week. So just for a start, just looking at England and Wales, crime rises by 13% in England and Wales, the Office for National Statistics say. So in 2017, the amount of crimes which were recorded in a year rose past 5 million in 2017. And that is a rise of 13% over the last 10 years. And if you do a little bit of digging, you can find this very interesting Excel document. Still haven't worked out how to get it all up on the screen, trying to put all the information up. We'll just have a quick, I'll just talk you through it very quickly. So this is a breakdown of all the crimes which are recorded in England and Wales, and if you have the whole thing on, it finishes about there. Okay. That's why I haven't been able to fit it all on. And it starts off with this. Total recorded crime, excluding fraud. Don't know why fraud has been left out. I'm sure if we added fraud into it, it would probably be a lot higher. But we've got total recorded crime, and there were 4.6 million recorded crimes. And 1.2 million of violence against people, robbery, theft, burglary, etc., vehicle offences. A lot of crime was recorded. We've got this here, going back to the marriage section which we've read of in Matthew. Basically, in 2013, there were 6.2% less marriages than in 2012, which was a drop of about 6.2%, I reckon. So marriage is becoming a thing of the past, and I'm sure if they did the census now, that would be an even greater number, a smaller number, sorry. Religion is falling. This is a bit of a blurb which they were saying, and this is interesting. The second largest response for the question about what religion you were in 2011 was no religion. 32% of people in the UK in 2011 said that they had no religion. And just as a quick look, this is a table telling us the difference between 2001 and 2011. 2001 on the left, 2011 on the right. And 2001, a lot of Christian, not too many saying no religion. 2011, you can see that blue box has increased a lot. And again, if they did that now, I'm sure it would be even bigger, that blue box. Just moving a bit further afield, we've got wars happening throughout the world at the moment, don't we? We've got the Syrian Civil War, which has been going for six years, they estimate more than 300,000 people dead, displaced millions of people around the world, and has drawn in global powers to try and sort out the situation, and it's ongoing. You can go onto the BBC, onto any news website, and there will be always updates about the Syrian civil war. We've got trouble in Israel, in the Middle East, haven't we? There was a news headline which said that a top Israeli military official believed that another war with Gaza was on the horizon. Trouble in the Middle East. And we've got, it's taken from Russia Today, China and Israel, not very, China and the US, not very happy with each other. And, you know, we're in a world of political turmoil, aren't we? And this was literally just a sort of like a 5-minute skim through the internet, and I'm sure that, you know, if I wanted to, we could have spent hours looking at everything which is going on in the world. And the world is a horrible place to be in at the moment. And it's only going to get worse. Matthew 24 gives us some more information as to what the world is going to get like. And our president's just going to read Matthew 24 verses 4 to 31.
And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear wars and rumours of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death."
Thank you. So out of this passage, we get this list. We get false prophets, wars, rumours of wars, civil wars, famines, diseases, epidemics, earthquakes, religious persecution, lawlessness will be rife. People will only focus upon themselves. At the very end, war in Israel. Mighty armies gathered together to fight against Israel, which is extensively talked about in Ezekiel chapter 38. Can you see how this all, I believe, links to the time of Noah? If we look at this list, and we look at what we looked at earlier, and we just look at the world around us, I believe we are living in a time like Noah's time, just as Jesus has predicted. So, after depressing you all, there is a positive message to come out of this talk. Yes, the world is a negative and depressing place, as we know. But the next message is the reason why we want to be here, which is why we're here. After all of this has happened, Jesus will return upon this earth with the saints and the angels. And he will set up God's kingdom. The flood in Noah's time didn't last forever, and the waters ceased, and God put a rainbow in the sky. Well, imagine the rainbow as the kingdom, the peace after the flood. It will be a wonderful kingdom, and the prophet Isaiah tells us of what this kingdom is going to be like. And can we turn to Isaiah chapter 35, please? We're not going to read through the whole chapter, but it's a wonderful chapter to have a look at. And it tells us of what the kingdom is going to be like. So we're told that the deserts will blossom, verse 1. There'll be joy and singing everywhere. Ailments will be healed. Verse 5, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. There will be no more famine. Verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. Peace will reign. And there will be no more sadness, and there will be everlasting life. If we look at verse 10, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm sure you can all agree that this sounds like a wonderful place to be. And we want this time to come very soon. We want it to come, but we also want to be a part of it. So how can we do that? Well, can we turn to Acts chapter 16, please? In Acts chapter 16, we read of where the Apostle Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. And they are in there, in prison, and they are singing hymns and praising God. And there is an earthquake, and they and the other prisoners have the opportunity to escape, but they don't. The jailer sees that the prison is open and he goes to kill himself. But Paul cries out to him and says, "Don't harm yourself." In verse 29 and 30, we read this. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We'll look at the response from Paul and Silas. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They said he had to believe on the Lord Jesus, and that he would be saved. Paul and Silas teach the man and his family about Jesus, and he is baptized. He and his whole household. So to have a hope of this eternal life and a hope of a place in this kingdom, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he taught. You must also be baptized. The jailer heard the teachings of Paul and Silas and decided that he needed to be baptized. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read this as well. We don't need to turn there, I'll just read it out. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." So we have to be sorry, we have to want to change our way of life. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. I'm just going to read a bit from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast." The amazing time to come is a gift from God. Because God is a gracious God, he wants every single one of us to be in that kingdom. You also don't have to turn this up, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 we read, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, because the Lord loves you." And in verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 7 we read, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love for those who love him and keep his commandments." God loves each and every one of us, and he wants us to turn to him as he is willing to forgive us and give us a chance to be a part of his wonderful kingdom. So why don't we take the opportunity and turn to God whilst we are still in the time of Noah, so to speak? So is there any difference between the time that Noah lived in and the time that we live in now? Is there any difference between Noah's time and now? I don't believe there is. We've read of the prediction 2,000 years ago, which Jesus gave of what he said is going to happen to this world. He compared it to Noah's time. And I believe that we can see with our own eyes that it is coming to pass already. So in my mind, everything else which has been predicted that hasn't already come to pass will happen because the Bible is trustworthy and true. So my question to you is this. Will you trust the Bible and have a chance of a much better time to come? Or will you continue to trust the world? The choice is yours.